Hey guys, it's John here. I just want to give you a heads up about the sound on our latest series. You may hear Lisa go in and out a few times. We had some trouble with our brand new microphones, but are so passionate about getting this content out, we didn't want to wait to release it. Our team is committed to making sure every show is done with excellence, so we just wanted to explain the sound issue that you might hear. Let's get going into this show. Hey everyone, welcome to Conversations with John and Lisa. Lisa, I always love doing this with you. You're just my funnest person to be with. Well, everybody, let's catch you up. We are doing our very final episode, our very final set of conversations on this series about honoring women, women's role in the church.
Yeah. And there's been, you know, the reason why we're doing a third one is because we had so many questions
we didn't
get a chance to answer.
No.
And so we're going to skip the reviews and we're going to dive right into some of these questions.
And I want to set some things up. I want to emphasize we are not being combative. We are only trying to show people from the Word of God that God has not only called women to ministry, He's empowered them to do so. And so we are only wanting to reach those of you who really want to hear what the Word of God has to say about women in ministry, women in leadership. It is so important that you hear it from a mother and father in the church.
You know, and I want to say this because I don't know how many people actually understand what our origin was. We were very, very, very complementarian in the beginning where...
Okay, Lisa, explain what complementarian is. Okay.
I never, ever spoke on a Sunday. I only was allowed to speak to women. And, you know, we went to a church that was like, hey, women don't talk to men. We don't teach men. You only teach other women. And, you know, that was where we came from. And we've been serving God together and married now for 37 years. And we've actually had a change in how we saw different things. We did see some women not do it well, but we've also seen quite a few men not do it well. And so we learned it really wasn't about gender. It was about motive. It was about heart position. And that male and female doing it together is the most powerful, a mother's voice and a father's voice together. So first question that we didn't get to tackle, and I would love to answer this one because I want you to answer
Well, then I'll read the question. How's that?
Okay.
How to have a conversation about female leadership with those who disagree.
Okay. It would be how you would handle a conversation with anybody that you are having a disagreement with. First and foremost, you need to hear what they have to say. People will continue to argue until they know that you are actually hearing what they have to say. And then you don't argue to persuade, you listen, and then you talk how you'd want to be spoken to. You talk to them with respect. You talk to them about what you feel the scripture says. You talk to them about what you feel like the Holy Spirit has said that's confirmed by scripture. But sometimes it's better just to say, I love you, and I'm going to let my life argue. I'm not going to just continue to have a disagreement with you around this. I remember just two or three weeks before our former pastor was caught in a moral failure, and he never allowed women to speak in the church. And if his wife ever spoke, she was always apologizing for speaking, even though she was the mother of our house. And I remember my boy saying, we love hearing from the mother occasionally. I remember talking to her and saying, you know, Darlene Check is the worship pastor. And she said, well, that's wrong. And this is wrong. And this is wrong. And I just had to learn that that was how she saw it.
Right.
But it wasn't going to be won in an argument. And over time, she actually doesn't even believe that anymore. So it's been an interesting thing. So we don't get combative, like you said.
Yeah, it's important.
We understand that this is too important just to argue.
Correct. And I want to point to 2 Timothy chapter 2, where it says the servant of the Lord must be gentle and patient. And I also, what scripture keeps coming up in my heart, Lisa, is Jesus said, he who wills to do my will know that my words are from God. There are people that are not going to hear the word of God just because of tradition, because of stubbornness even, because of not wanting to be wrong and admit that they were wrong. Can I tell you some of the greatest growth that has occurred in my life? When something that I believed for years, I suddenly looked at my family and said, I don't believe that anymore. And I was wrong. And I have had to do that in areas. And I think all of us have to remain like a child. A child's not stubborn. A child is teachable. Mm-hmm. And I have heard, and Lisa, I've always been the one that has really actually been a little bit more lenient on this than even you.
More of an advocate
for women. And I remember you didn't want anything to do with pulpit ministry. And I kept saying, no, there's a call on your life. And you God,
you,
God
Brian
then
Houston.
God then spoke to you and you finally entered it. And I was really excited because I didn't have to keep battling these thoughts that had been seeded in you by religious tradition. And so I'm hoping that these three podcasts will liberate the women out there so they don't have those voices speaking in their head anymore.
Right. You know, and I love that what you said. And one of the things I did note on a lot of the people, they were very grace-filled when it came to talking to the men. You know, men, we need you to be strong. Men, and then it was like, women, we forbid you, sit down. And it was like an anger and a shaming thing. And that's just never how Jesus ever talks to me.
Right.
The Holy Spirit never shames. He never condemns. He never controls. And that is not the role of leadership. Leadership doesn't shame and control or eliminate. It actually educates and lifts and liberates. So I've got a question for you. Why do people honor women leading and preaching, but not as lead pastors or elders? We kind of talked about this a little bit.
Yeah, we did. And I think it does go back to
and
that.
It's kind of confusing. Leading and preaching. Leading does seem like pastors and elders to me.
You know, I'm gonna join with you and say that I believe the healthiest thing that can happen in the church is you have a woman and a man leading. Just like the healthiest thing for a family is a mother and a father leading. Let's face it, Paul references the church as the household of God. He said, if a man can't take care of his own household, how can he take care of the household of God? Mm-hmm. So I think we always go back to Genesis. We always go back to the beginning, and we see that God ordained. He said, hey, it's not good that man's doing this by himself. He needs somebody to stand with him and do this together. And Lisa, in all my years of studying scripture and learning through experience, I have found that women carry strengths that men don't carry, and men carry strengths that women don't carry, and I have learned to respect your strengths. I didn't at first because I was the insecure male who always had to have the answer for everything and always had to have the ideas for everything.
A lot of that's because you were young, too.
Right, right, and I was insecure, and my insecurity would sometimes suppress your creativity, your intuition, your discernment. And I remember the Holy Spirit really, really dealing with me about this and said, John, you're missing out on things that you need to be a good head of the home, to make good decisions by stopping your wife's voice. Well, the same thing I believe happens in churches. And Lisa, you and I have been in a plethora of churches. And the healthiest churches we go in is where the husband and wife are co-pastors. Mm-hmm. And every one of those churches I go into, that wife is not trying to say, I'm the lead over you, husband. I don't see that.
Yeah.
I see the husband having great respect for his wife's giftings and leadership. And I see the wife having great respect for her husband's. And if they are at an impasse, I always see the wife going, I'm going to defer to you, because you have to have that.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always loved what you've said, and that is submission means coming under the same mission. And the more you and I have really worked together instead of try to combat each other,
mm-hmm.
the more we see the fruit of heaven in our life and ministry. And that's what I want to see for all of our listeners.
It's so good.
Hey everyone, we just want to take a minute to interrupt this conversation and we'll get right back to it, but we just want to let you know that we're doing a special promotion on All Access. All right, now you've been hearing us talk about this amazing discipleship training community or platform, and from Monday, November 25th all the way to Friday, December 6th, we are offering a All Access membership. Now this is for one entire year for a one-time payment of $99. Now, I will say this. This is only for new members. This is the lowest price we are offering, so make sure you go to messengerpodcasts.com www.ofr.com/offer. That's offer, O-F-F-E-R, to claim this amazing opportunity.
All right, so preaching versus pastoring. Is preaching always the same as pastoring?
No, it's not.
Okay.
Pastoring means shepherding. It's caring for the flock. Okay, it does include leading, because a shepherd sure enough does lead a flock. All right, preaching is instructing, teaching, it's exhorting. You can't say the two are exactly alike, although the two have a lot in common. A pastor has to preach, he has to exhort, she has to preach, she has to exhort. But just because somebody is preaching, teaching, exhorting doesn't make them a pastor. A pastor is a calling. It is something that the Holy Spirit, he sets somebody aside to occupy an office for serving the church.
Yeah. So now, because I've had people say, well, you shouldn't, because I do some Sundays. And again, you know, they kind of make it sound like I just show up, push the pastor out of the pulpit and like, get out of here. I have something to say, because it's like you're usurping authority and you're teaching men. And Paul would not suffer that. But the truth is, I'm under authority, having an authority. So those pastors have asked me to speak to their congregation, to share maybe something God has done in my life. I'm not exercising authority.
And your husband has asked you to go fulfill the call of God in your life, because your husband fears God, and I would never want to squelch the call of God upon your life, Lisa.
Right. So I'm not doing church discipline. I'm not appointing elders. I'm not going in as a guest and governing the church. I'm coming in there under authority, having authority to speak the word of God, to preach the good news, to preach the transformative power of what God can do in a marriage, an individual life, and relationships, and, you know, that's kind of thing. Okay, here is a very pointed question. Are women pastors biblical?
Yes, I totally believe that. I see nowhere in Scripture that would forbid that. And that means that women can be a part of the governance aspect of the church. Again, I'm going to say it again, when you've got only a mom in a household, she is limited in certain respects. When you have only a father in a household, he's limited in certain respects. That's why God created man and women to be joined together as one. So I can tell you from the Word of God, you've got Aquila and Priscilla. You've got Priscilla and Aquila, the way Paul listed it, excuse me. You've got Andronicus and Junia. And
But you're still talking about co-pastors. I think this question is about, can a single woman be a pastor?
I think it would be a great exception. I don't think it's God's best. But you can't deny the fruit. Jesus said, wisdom is justified by our children. Amy Simon McPherson did not have a co-pastor husband, but yet she had a movement that still is one of the great, the largest movements in the planet today.
Well, we have our sweet friend who was a nun, and God called her out, and she's now a pastor in Milan.
And she has over 200 churches underneath her.
Yeah, yeah, she's
and
doing
Lisa,
a great work.
Can I tell you, I went to her conference, and I saw 1,000 passionate Christians in Milan, Italy, that were going crazy. And she looked at me and said, John, Jesus said, are you willing to be married to me? And she said, I am resolved to be a single woman the rest of my life. Now, I can't disqualify the fruit of what she's doing. I'm looking at the believers that are in her ministry. They're strong men. They're healthy men. They're strong women. They're healthy women. And you would have to eliminate 200 churches in Italy. And I don't know many denominations that have 200 healthy churches in Italy like she does. I mean, there are some. We speak at some. But I'm saying that that's remarkable when you think about Italy.
Yeah. And then I remember you and I were resourcing Iran in Farsi, and we were sitting with Rob, and you were like, wait a minute, why are we giving so many resources to women? And he said, John, in Iran, the leaders and pastors
are women.
They're
not all women, they're predominantly women.
Yeah, there's a lot of women.
Same way with China. Yeah, the answer to this question is yes. Yeah. A woman can solely be a pastor, even without a husband. And Again, I want to go back to, I believe it's God's best. I believe there's grace on our friend's life in Italy to do this because Jesus has said to her, will you be willing to be married to me? So if it works in China, if it works in Iran, if it works in Italy, and I don't see anything in Scripture that forbids it, as we talked about in the last podcast, I believe this can work in the United States.
You know, something you and I have always said, if it does not translate culture, if it doesn't supersede the American culture, then it's not the gospel. So when you're talking about women cannot pastor, absolutely cannot pastor in the United States of America, and then they have to be the pastors in Iran or China, then we have to question, is it really the gospel when we put those kind of restrictions on people? Okay, so good question. Okay, what is the most important characteristic in a female leader?
I think it's the same characteristics that Paul writes about the male. She shouldn't be greedy. She shouldn't drink excessive amount of wine, as he said. She should be blameless. She should have a good reputation with the people on the outside. If she's married, she should be submitted to her husband. I mean, Lisa, I'm gonna drop a name here, and that is Joyce Meyer. And as you know, I was on her board for 8 years. And Lisa, I have been in Dave and Joyce's house, and let me tell you, she submits to him as husband. But in that board meeting, she was the leader, and they worked together beautifully. And you're talking about a person who speaks to 3 billion people on a daily basis at one time. Her program was literally feeding pastors in India and China. Again,
even though she wouldn't call
wisdom,
herself a pastor.
Wisdom is justified by her children. But the thing that I love so much is Dave recognized the call of God on Joyce's life. And Dave, in those board meetings, was submitted to Joyce. But when I was in their home, Joyce was submitted to Dave. It was beautiful.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, and I think we answered one of these questions. Okay, how can I approach a pastor who does not allow women to speak at my home church? Again, I think we just said that's...
You don't do that.
No. That's you don't do that.
That is the totally pastor's true. Conviction. Yep. That is his belief. And therefore,
you submit to it because
he's the leader. And if God releases you, go to another church. Yep. But, you know, I'll never forget, I have a friend, Lisa, who was a pastor of a large church in a major denomination. And he had read Undercover, the book that I wrote, and he was at the end, and the Holy Spirit said, how long are you going to be in rebellion to me? And he said, what? He said, you on purpose rebel against the things you don't like in your denomination. Either you submit to your denomination or you resign from your denomination. And he made the decision. I don't need to say which way he went, but he made the decision. And so when you're under a leader, it's more important to God that you're submitted, that you're one. Because if you look at the book of Acts, you know, Peter wasn't making a very wise decision when he appointed Matthias through a lottery system. And you never hear about Matthias again. And Paul actually said, I was the one born out of due time. But the fact that they were one is why God poured his glory out on that church. And so it's much more important that we're one, that we're submitted to one another in the fear of the Lord. Then we can have a move of God's Spirit.
That's good. Okay. How can I reconcile vocations as both a mother and a church leader? Yeah. So here's the challenge with that. There are seasons in your life, and the right thing at the wrong time becomes the wrong thing. If you can do both and do it well, then do it. But life is a time test, and you only have a certain window of time to be a mother.
Can I speak to this from an observer's standpoint? Lisa, the call of God was on your life, but you actually told the Lord, Lord, my priority is raising our four sons. Mm-hmm. You made them the priority. You put that call on hold. And now all 4 of our sons work at Messenger International.
It looked different. I wrote so that I could stay home.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can steward it a different way. So
but you knew a season was coming where those boys would be raised and you would be able to really go in the call. And I really have respected that down through the years because we have 4 very healthy sons.
Okay, this is a good one. If women can lead the church, can we lead our homes? I'd say no, because you just talked about Joyce leads her organization, but Dave leads the home. That's the husband and wife relationship.
It's very simple. The Bible's very specific that the husband's the head in the home.
Absolutely.
And the Bible's not specific that a leader in the church has to be a male. So when the Bible's very, very specific, we need to respect that. Mm-hmm. So women are not to lead in the homes.
Absolutely not.
Over their husbands.
Absolutely. And then again, here's the interesting. How do you balance being a female spiritual leader and being submissive to your husband? Well, there's no conflict.
No conflict.
There's no conflict. What I do as a female spiritual leader does not usurp or contradict anything that I would do as a wife in submission to her husband. One of the things I would say that we do is you look at my schedule. That I give you all of my speaking engagements and you have to approve them before I go, and I approve yours because we want our husband and wife relationship to be a higher priority and not just be busy traveling all the time. Okay, here's another one. How can a man be fully supportive of his wife calling and encourage her in it, especially when he has his own? See, that bothers me because I don't feel like a husband has a calling over here and a wife has a calling over there. I feel like God puts couples together on this. What do you think?
I agree with you on that. But Lisa, there are times, I mean, you went to a conference in Miami this past weekend. I went to a church. Where was I? I'm in so many places. St. Louis. And yes, you're my favorite person to hang out with. When I got married to you, I wanted
callings.
To be...
We have one goal.
Right, but what I'm saying is I realized that your calling for that specific weekend was to be in Miami. My calling was to be in St. Louis. So I was okay with that. But
I'd say my assignment.
Assignment,
that
I like
and
that.
My calling is to make
But our overall calling, we do this together. That's why we have conversations with John and Lisa.
Right, yeah. Is there a biblical example we can point to where women lead men as well as other women? That would be Deborah.
Yep.
That would be Deborah in the book
of
Judges.
Anna the prophetess sure had everybody's attention, including males.
But she wasn't leading.
She wasn't leading. That's a very good point.
No,
but you've got Deborah.
Mm-hmm.
Very good example.
Okay. And then if you're talking about this woman, there are apostles in the house. They might have co-led with her husbands.
Yep.
How did you handle situations when a wife is more anointed or gifted in general than a husband?
I mean, that's a tough question right there. I mean, I can certainly see there are situations where gifting in a woman could be greater than a man. However, Miriam and Aaron, if you'll remember, they were gifted. She's a prophetess. Her prophecy is still in the Bible. He's the head priest. And they didn't like the decision Moses made of marrying the woman from Africa, the Ethiopian woman. And they thought, you know what? God has spoken through us. And they allowed their gifting to elevate themselves above the authority that God put them under. And God dealt with both of them very severely because they allowed their gifts to elevate themselves above the authority. And so you can have situations where you can have a wife who's much more gifted than the husband, but that doesn't take away from the husband's leadership, his authority in the home.
You know, I had an opportunity to speak about finances, and there seems to be some threatening thing when the woman makes more money than the man. And I said, well, then you guys don't really believe you're one. Because it isn't about her making more money and you making less. It's about the money comes into the household and you all are one.
So I know I've addressed that, Lisa, but I don't get it.
No,
I mean, we're one.
No,
and there have been seasons in our life you have made more income on a monthly basis than me. There have been seasons.
I've done it over a year. Okay,
yeah.
So do you think feminism goes against God's will of marriage unity?
Feminism. Feminism is defined differently in different people's minds, so let's be careful
so
with this
I
one.
I do, as far as if it is encouraging men, women to act like men. I think that's always going to fight, and it's also going to fight against the unity if feminism is blaming the man for the problems, because we don't get our value by taking it from men. We get our value from God. And so men should get their value from God. Women should get their value from God. And then both of them lends their strengths and their value to one another. We do not take our value from one another. And I do think there's been a lot of abuse of power by men against women.
I do too.
But the response is not for women now right. to abuse their power against men. I think we need to remember that we have an enemy, and it is Satan, and he hates both male and female, and he does not want us to be united for God's purpose of marriage or family, or really, to be honest with you, people seeing that God is real because we love one another.
Well, babe, we're at 24 minutes.
We have like 10 more questions.
We have 10 more questions.
This is terrible. We might just need to post some stuff online, but
we love answering these questions, but I think we need to bring a wrap on this. And let me just say this, that all our podcast listeners, you guys that listen to Conversations with John and Lisa, we are doing something amazing. We're granting you a free 1 month subscription to All Access. Now, what is All Access? It's a discipleship platform. We have tons of things on this platform. They're courses. And so we've got Called, we've got Driven by Eternity, we've got Moms of Men, but the ones that you'll really love if you've been interested in what we've been talking about is Girls with Swords, Lioness Arising. These are actual courses where we'll address so much more than we've been able to even do with these three podcasts that we've done on honoring women's role in the church. So just want to encourage you to do that. You can go there by going to messengerpodcasts.com/allaccess. So we also want to encourage you to subscribe to Conversations, and also share, you know, post it on your Facebook, tell friends about it. That way we can all continue to have these great questions, because you sent great questions to us today and we really enjoyed answering them. We want your friends to be able to do the same thing, because we do place value in the questions that come in. And we just want to thank you for tuning in. And Lisa, it's been a joy talking to you about this subject. I feel like I've gotten so much off of my heart, off of my chest, I should say. And I believe this has been a very Spirit-led three conversations that we've done on honoring women in the church. So
before you go, I want to say thank you as a daughter and a mother in the house of God, that you as a son and a father in the house of God would be so passionate about this, because I know it doesn't affect you the way it affects women, but you took this on and studied and dove down deep into this, and I want to just thank you for sharing.
Thank you very much.
So until next time, this has been Conversations with the very passionate John Bevere and Lisa.
Thanks for listening to Conversations with John and Lisa. Let us know your thoughts by leaving a review, and be sure to subscribe and share these episodes through iTunes. You can also connect with John and Lisa through Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Until next time.